Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to talk with artist Debbie Solon. We're going to talk about art, creativity, and the way she designs jewelry and helps inspire other people to design it too. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me back.
Why don't you, for those people who weren't privy to your wonderful words, why don't you tell about yourself and what you do?
Well, I am an artist. I'm from Dublin, Ireland. I now live in San Diego, California. And I run and I co-founded and help run a gallery studio pertaining to warm glass art for the most part. We do a lot of other things, but our main thing is that we work with what's called warm glass or kiln fusing. We love being involved in the community. Promoting creativity in others is a huge part of what we do, as is promoting other local artists.
One of the things that we wanted to talk about this time was being creative, where it takes you, what kind of strange bends it goes on. Why don't you talk about all the different ways you're creative, because she's as busy as I am.
Yes. Well, when you talk about the strange bends things go on, I'd say one of the recent examples of that would be the jellyfish project that I got involved in. It was actually involving scientists and artists, a collaborative effort, and the purpose was to get out the information about our ocean's health and how unhealthy our oceans are. And so talking with the scientists, I started talking to people in the community and really being amazed at how many people were unaware of the situation and how bad it is. And so when I talked to the scientists, I said, you know, who's reading all this data that you're pulling up, you guys are collecting? And I was finding by my talking in the community that really people were not getting this information out. So my friend Marjorie Pizzoli and I decided to collaborate on an art project to visually represent the data that these scientists were gathering. So our initial idea was to use silk, which is Marjorie's medium, to paint huge jellyfish and hang them. But in the middle of the night, and referring back to your idea on where it takes you and the unexpected turns, I was sitting here in my studio and realized that silk isn't clogging up our oceans. It's plastic for the most part. So I decided we should make the jellyfish from plastic. And that's what we did. We took recycled plastic, garbage bags, grocery bags, tarps from painters, and we made a huge installation. The installation went up to Monterey and hung for almost a year at the Monterey Museum. It then was borrowed by Santa Cruz and hung up there until we borrowed it back to hang in the convention center in Monterey. So it went back and forth and back and forth. I cannot even tell you the response, the unexpected and immediate response we got from these plastic jellyfish. When you think about the medium that we were making them in, it's not valuable. It's hardly beautiful, plastic bags. And yet we were able to make people literally stop and wonder, what's this all about? And once we did that, now they started asking the question, what's this all about? And now we can explain to them how plastic, about from the research that I've seen, about 80% of the plastic ends up in our oceans. And that's really amazing when you think about it. So hopefully our project with the jellyfish is bringing this message of stewardship for the oceans and continuing to inspire people not to use plastic bags. But the unexpected response to an unusual art medium was really amazing.
And if the oceans die, we die. It's a very important thing.
Yes. Yes. I mean, really, everything is connected. And we need, I know people know this, but they've forgotten it somehow. I think we've disconnected from nature to such a huge degree. Most people don't know even really where their food came from. You know, so well, I think we really need to reconnect with nature. And I think that the oceans and fighting for stewardship and to change people's thinking on the way they're using products. You don't have to use the product just because it's there. You know, say no to the plastic bag at the grocery store.
Yep,
and if people have
beautiful vinyl bags now that are all nice and pretty, and they not vinyl cloth, whatever you call it, that doesn't cost it hardly anything, and you can put your food in there and don't have to use plastic.
Absolutely, and we have Marjorie and I put up a website. It's called thejellygirls.com. And on that website, you can find more about the project. People started calling us the Jelly Girls. So we thought we'd use that as our webpage because it's kind of memorable. So if people go on thejellygirls.com, they'll find out more about that project. And they'll see a little craft where you can take an old T-shirt and turn it into a tote bag. And so while we were out there saying, don't use plastic bags, we wanted to say, here's an option, and there's an option. What do you do with all those old T-shirts?
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. Mm-hmm. Is it on your website?
Sherry, it's on the jellygirls.com website, and I think there's a little tab that says project.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful that you can bring your art to doing something so important.
Yeah, and that's how we speak. When I always think it's funny when someone says, explain your painting or explain your art. To me, like, you're a writer, Sherry. You write. You use words to tell a story. I use pictures or sculpture or fabric. Or that's me telling my story. Don't make me tell it as well. You know, here it is. That's the way I feel about that.
You're making me tell it twice.
I know, you know, so you get it.
Yeah, that's something I figured out when I was a child. I mean, it's amazing how people haven't figured that out yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I love art, as you know.
Yes, I do. And it does. It tells its own story. And you know what? The story that I'm telling you when I'm making the art, or the story that's making me make the art, might not be the story that you pick up from it. So whatever your story is that you attach to it, that's what's important, not what I felt or what I thought when I made it. So it's important for people to view art on their own terms, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Is that what people ask you when they look at your projects and they see it, and they, instead of trying to figure out how do I feel from it? What does it bring to me? Are they saying, where does it come from? Why did you do it? Is that what happens when you have people look at your work?
It's what happens a lot of times. I won't say it happens all the time, but it happens often enough that it makes me think, look at it and you see what you, and I might say, well, what do you think it's saying? And turn it back on them and make them tell me what they see. And then that's kind of an insight to me as well, is, oh, what is my work out there communicating? Is it communicating what I thought it was or not? And, in fact, a lot of times it's not. It's communicating something different. There's a painting that I did called Water Lily, and it's actually quite serene. It's got mirror, and it's got this beautiful aqua turquoise blue for the most part. And I was in a lot of pain when I made the painting. But a lady who actually turned out to be one of my best friends, Marjorie, saw the painting in a gallery and felt she was standing under a waterfall and that it was so relaxing. And that's the absolute opposite to what I was thinking when I made it.
I think that's a very important point when it comes to art. People want to know the inner workings of the creative mind. Never mind that. How do you feel about it? What are you getting out of it? That's what the point of art is. All art, writing, art, and photography, whatever you're talking about. What do you feel when you see it?
Absolutely. And most times the artist isn't there for you to say, what were you thinking? Maybe that's why they're asking. I don't know. Oh, the actual artist who made it is standing right here. Maybe I should ask them. Because most times you see it, you know, the artist's not standing next to it when you see it. So.
Yeah, that's true. You can't, like, ask Monet. He's dead, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. How do you inspire other people to be creative? I know how, but do you tell the audience?
Well, I think by just doing it myself, because it seems to me that most people are inspired when they see something that you've done, and then you say, well, you know, you can do it too. And I think everybody can do it. I feel like there's this idea out there of people separating artists or artsy types and non-artsy types. But to me, I think that we are all artsy types in our own way. I mean, whether it's gardening or interior design or writing or music or painting or sculpture, it's all there's so much art to everything that we do. And I guess I try and point out to people that they are artists in their everyday life without even realizing it, and hoping that that frees them to realize that they can actually go ahead and do something for themselves. Teaching classes at Fusion Glass Company has been a really amazing experience in that sense as well, because that gives people the power. They see what they can do. They come in and they work with a group of other people. They're all working on individual projects, and they come back. They leave it, and then they come back in a few days. And in those few days, they're wondering, oh, what's it going to turn out like? Is it going to be good? And then they come in. And I always think it's really hard to make an ugly piece. The pieces turn out so pretty. I'd say 99% of the time people are happy. And the 1%, they're never going to be happy anyway. So, you know.
They're super perfectionists.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are like that. And that's one of the things I think stops people from starting to create, because I'm not going to be able to do it perfectly. So, you know, another thing that I would say about that is every time you do it from a higher level. So the first time you do it, you didn't know anything about it. So you probably learned a lot the first time you did it. The second time you do it, you're going to be even better than you were the first time, and you're going to learn some more. So being able to put those things that are imperfect in your mind aside, knowing you're going to be better the next time you do it, I think is empowering. Doesn't have to be perfect. I'm going to get it better next time. And that's what happens. You learn, you know, practice makes perfect. It's the same old thing, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. What do you think art brings? Well, it's a pretty normal thing, but everybody has their own idea. What do you think art brings to people? You know, like you were talking about people who didn't think they were creative. How do you think it touches them?
I remember a long time ago reading about artists being the philosophers of our age. And in a big sense, I kind of think that differently. And now I'm separating us into us and them, but it's not really. I think being an artist and doing it as a profession, when you do something every day, when you think outside the box every day, that's your normal mode of thinking. And so you do start thinking differently than other people. And I think we visually represent those modes of thought. And that makes, and hopefully the reaction is that other people see it and react or think, oh, it could be like that. It could be different. It could be that way. Or I don't like that. I don't want it to be that way. Whatever it is. I think artists are philosophers for our age. So pay attention
That's
to art.
And do you think that when someone picks up whatever they're going to do, that comes from within? Is it something that they didn't know about but it's actually innate? or is that something that's learned?
As far as deciding what kind of art form they're going to do you mean?
Yes.
Well, now, you could probably answer that just as well as I can. For me, personally,
I
always
know,
knew
but
that I was an artist, and I know it's the same for you. But I know what you're going to say.
You're not interviewing me, Debbie. I'm interviewing you.
I know. I could turn it around, though. I won't. I know you've been a writer and actor. I know this has been part of your life from a very young age. And for me, art has been like that. But I've heard of other people who come to it or find it or discover it. For me, I came from a family where art was a part of it. My grandmother was very creative. My aunt, my uncle, my father was a builder and did some amazing creative things. My mother was quite creative as well, and my sister very creative. So it surrounded me. I guess like some families, music surrounds them, and a lot of times the kids grow up to be musical. There wasn't really any music. I mean, we all listened to music, but no one played anything in our family. But people drew and painted and made clothes and sculpted. So I don't know about how other people find it. Maybe if it's not in their family like that, they wait and they find it in school or in college or from friends or from walking past a gallery and going, hey, what? You can do that? I think art is very, it's mind-opening because there's no rules. I mean, it's the one thing where there's no rules. There's just no rules. You make up your own rules. You do what you want.
It's sort of like an alchemy. You experiment. You try this, you try that. If it fails, you go for something else.
Yeah, and no one says you can't mix oil paint and acrylic paint and throw some fabric in there and put a bit of wire on there. And I mean, it's whatever you want it to be. And I think
there's no art police.
Right, exactly. It's your own rules. You know, there's no one can say, oh, that's not how you do it. Because it's like, well, I did do it that way, so it is how I do it, right?
Right.
So
I think it's so fun, too, because that's another thing. It's the joy that it brings, not just to you, but to other people.
Yep. It's definitely, it's like therapy. And I think that's another way that I convince people that they should create more. I tell them, it's like therapy. You need to do this. You forget yourself. You can get lost in it. It's something that you literally can forget all of your troubles if you're focused on an art piece. And I don't care how small it is. You can have a little area in your kitchen where you work. But I think people who want to create, they should make a space for themselves, even if it's just a tiny space where they can have their project up and it doesn't have to keep getting put away. They can just leave it there and work on it when they get a minute. And, it, you know, it takes a half an hour to get everything out and a half an hour to put it all back. And you only have a half an hour. You're not going to work on it.
No. No. And in, like, my mom's very artistic, and she has, like, her little needlepoint and her paints and stuff like that. And she has them in, like, little boxes that she just picks up the box, brings it where she wants to do it, and works on it. I mean, it doesn't take that much space to have a little project area.
Right. And I think it's for the peace of mind that you get when you're creating, it's definitely worth sectioning off some tiny little area for yourself if possible. And making things with some of the stuff that's cluttering up your house. I guess that's another way of encouraging people to be creative. Look around you. What do you have? What can you make something with? I make mosaics from old wood doors and broken mirror, you know, because that's
and
what I had
gorgeous.
Around when I wanted to make things. So
and they're gorgeous.
And
they're beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I love making those. And that's something I really get lost in. I love making those. They're fun to make. Just mirror and a door.
I have a weird question. When you work on a project because you are using it for therapy and you're kind of upset, and it's done, how do you feel about it after you're done? I mean, is all of your pain in the project, and when you look at it, you see the pain, or can you see the beauty of it because of where it came from, that it's kind of like an epiphany? How would that work for you?
That's a good question. And that painting that I referred to earlier called Water Lily, that was I was really in a not doing good at all when I made that. I was in a lot of pain when I made that. But I don't look at that and see pain anymore. I remember what I felt like when I remember the impetus behind making it and it being pain. And I mean, it didn't just take that one painting to work that pain out, by the way. It doesn't work like that either. It took about 7 paintings for that one. But but yeah, I can look at it afterwards and not feel the pain, but I know where it came from. You know, I know where the piece came from, but I don't. And like I said, someone else looked at the same piece and saw something completely different, the opposite to what I felt.
Do you need to get it out of your studio because it's, like, painful at the time?
No, actually, I got it. It went into another gallery because the person who owned the place came up here and saw it and said, oh, can I have it? And as a matter of fact, she didn't know what the painting was about either as far as what I painted it about. She saw the same thing as Marjorie, that it was something calming, standing under a waterfall. So I think that's great. It's like turning one person's pain into another person's, idea of being in a very relaxing environment. Yeah, so
yeah.
That's alchemy right there.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly, that's where I came up with the word when you were saying that. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know most of what your passion is, but what is your great passion in life? What is it that you feel that you're bringing, and what is your passion?
I think that my passion and my purpose is to share art and to bring it to as many people as I can, to release that, I don't want to say pent up, but that boxed in area of so many people. I mean, I see it when they're freed. It's really like they're free now. And so one of my big passions is bringing that to kids. And so the Take Part program that we put together at Fusion Glass Company, where we go into the schools, there's a small fee, but we have the kids create something, and then they create they create two items. One they take home, and the other I take all of the kids' pieces and I make a group project, and then we give that back to the school and they auction it, and it helps to fund the classes. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah, so that's one of the ways. And we've had schools say, oh, we're not selling this group project, we're keeping it, it's going in the office. So that's nice. But it's, yeah, but can you imagine having a glass bowl that your kid had part of? You know, we have them make a square. So I take all the squares and I put them all, like there's 25 squares. I line them all up like a quilt, sort of on a nice background glass, and fire it and make a bowl or a plate out of it. And I just think it's a wonderful sort of time capsule of your kids' class and all the kids that were in the class.
That's a beautiful thing. I think that, well, I mean, every kid did a little clay project when they were a kid that their parents have in their house, but it's still, I know my mom looks sentimentally at the stuff my brother and I did. I mean, it's just, it's part of your childhood. It's an important part of your childhood, too.
And she sees you at that age. When she looks at that, she sees you at the age that you were when you came into her. I know that's how it is with me and my daughter. Like the plate that she did, there's a plastic plate that they fired some technique. They fired it into the plate, and like laminate or melamine or whatever. And it's just so sweet. And when I see the plate, I think of her at age about 6. You know, when she made it.
That's so sweet.
So, yeah. So bringing art to kids is a huge thing. And with that, we're actually expanding into another area now. And
that's
what my next question was. Yeah, we're talking with, we do the fairy party, the Midsummer Night's Dream party every year. And this year, instead of doing it here at Fusion Glass Company, we're talking with the Water Conservation Garden over at Cuyamaca College. And I think we're going to be holding it there. And one of the reasons in holding it there is we wanted to create a fund where artists are brought to the garden to teach kids. So the artists will come there right to the garden. The kids will come there. They'll make their project. They'll take it home. Artists in all kinds of different media.
Well, that's lovely. So
that's another way. You like that? And the garden is so beautiful.
I love that.
Perfect.
That's
so
beautiful.
And we'll have music and entertainment, and we'll have fairy contests, making head wreaths and wands and big giant bubbles, all kinds of things. We'll also have food vendors and hopefully a VIP evening event for the adults, where we'll have wine and beer and food and an opera singer, Rosario Manetti, will be coming to sing for us. So anyone who's out there that's interested in being involved in that should contact me through Fusion Glass.
I know you said midsummer, but just so they know, do you know what date that's going to be?
Well, we usually do it on the closest Saturday to midsummer, but this year, since we're doing it at the garden, we have to fall in with whatever dates they have, and I think it won't be until August. So we're actually meeting on Friday to pick a date. So
okay.
I will post that on our website under the upcoming events. So anyone who wants to go to it or be part of it.
Can you read off your website so people can look it up?
I can. It's www.fusionglassco.com.
And is Fusion Glass Co. all smushed together?
Yep. And don't forget the CEO, because
people
forget that.
I want people to hear that. So.
Yep. FUSIONGLASSCO.com. Go there. Check us out.
And we only have like 2 minutes left. Do you have any events where your own art or galleries where your own art is going to be exhibited?
For a bit. Well, aside from Fusion Glass Company, there's stuff down at the Living Coast Discovery Center. And, the other places are not local. So come to Fusion Glass Company. And for anyone who lives too far away, on our website, they can actually get a little tiny piece of glass, a little free by mail. Go on the website and they can check it out. So anyone who's wondering, what is Fusion Glass?
Good, because we have an international audience. So where else is your stuff going to be? You said that it's not local, but I have people...
Listening
from everywhere.
We're in a few number of different museum stores. So if you're in, we're in the Santa Cruz Exploration Center gift store. We're also, for local people, we're actually in Old Town every Saturday and Sunday, and we're at Rancho Bernardo Winery every Friday with a booth. So anyone who's local who wants to go there. Otherwise, I'd say the best place to... find us is go on our website. Most of our stuff is available on there. We also have an Etsy store, which you can get to through our website.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. Thank you for inviting me, Sherry.
Thank you. And thank you for being on Chatting with Sherry.
Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.